into the Coach Report Podcast. Zach Lancaster here alongside Brian Murphy. We've got a couple miles in between us, but we're making it work. It's been a while. It's been a lot going on.
Season three, let's go.
Crazy, right?
I feel like
we've only done about 20 of these, but we've done like 4 years.
Well, and you're back on radio,
That's right.
So you get to talk this all day, every day, and then about once a week, get on here and talk about it with me.
Yeah, we've actually got a 3-hour show this afternoon. So
how is life back on the air? Yeah, but you get filled up with tea and sweet tea and like mint tea and strawberry tea.
I'm in studio today.
Oh, I thought you were over at HTO.
No, I'm gonna send Ryan Breeden out there because we'll be at a car dealership tomorrow. So I figured I would do that.
Well, that's a good call. Good call on your part.
Trying to be nice.
And one of the things we're wanting to talk, I was just kind of want to hop into it, man. You got to go to Vegas.
I did. Yeah. I left in the black too.
Whoa. All right. Well, let's start there. What, did you hit the tables? Did you play?
I did.
And leave in the black, or did you just avoid it and leave in the black?
No. So I play the tables. I'm a blackjack guy, but here's the thing.
Nice.
So we stayed at the Bellagio. Really nice. Anyone's ever been, you know how nice it is. Well, mm-hmm. when, like, as soon as you step onto the gaming floor, that's like the high roller area, right? We're talking $100 hands, maybe more. And, well, that's not me. All right. Just going to throw that out there. So I made my way, and it's like a 5-minute trek from the front to the back. And so I made my way through the first floor and then hung a right and then hung a left through the second floor area. And those are our $75 and $50 hands. We're getting better, but we're still a ways off. So go through that gaming floor, hang a right, hang a left to like the third area. And those are more reasonable. We're talking 30, you know, 20, 25, $15 hands. So I went to a $15 hand blackjack table. I was the only one there. Just me and the dealer, and it started off really great because the pit boss, I sat down and she goes, "So do you have your Players Club card?" And I was like, "I don't. I'm sorry. It's my first time here, and we're only here for a couple days, and I'm not sure if I'll ever get back, so I don't." And she goes, "Well, do you have your driver's license? Because no offense, sweetheart, you look young as hell." I'm like, "Yeah, for sure. That always makes me feel good." And pull out my ID and give it to her, and she goes, "Well, I would like to extend an apology because you look really good for your age." And I'm only 33, you know, so it's, but she's like, "Good skincare regimen.
Youngster."
Yeah. She said, "Thank your mom for them jeans." And I said, "Every day." And it was just me and the dealer. And it was like 3 or 4 hands. And I had a blackjack and aces and eights and split them and hit on both of those. The first 16 I had, I hit. I said, "You know what?" Or no, I stayed. I said, "You know what? I'm going to stay." Uh-huh. And I lost. She had a 17. I was like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me."
You gave her the evil eye.
I did. So I hit on every other 16, and I hit on every 16 as well. So had aces and eights twice. Only lost one of those eight. I think I lost an eight once. So I did really well splitting aces and eights. I hit my 16s, did really well there. A couple 3 blackjacks, you know, and then a new dealer. This big old boy from Wisconsin. I don't think he could have moved slower if he tried. And there's nothing wrong with it. It was just like I was doing really well, you know. And all of a sudden, here he comes and he's moving at a.
They brought in the bullpen.
Dude, it was like Zootopia. It was like that sloth that worked at the DMV or whatever. I'm not kidding. I lost the first 4 hands that he was at the table. And it was a new pit boss, and I, not like over the top loud, but I dropped a hateful profanity. Not directed at anybody. It was like, "You gotta, you know, like, you're like, yeah." And the dude looked at me and he was like, "Take it easy." And I was like, "You're right. You're right."
You take it easy.
I'm sorry.
You're losing so much.
I'm sorry. But, so I was up to, I was up north of 200 and then lost a couple of hands, won a couple hands, lost a hand, won a hand. And I was playing really, really well. And it was only like 30, 35 minutes, right? It wasn't that fast, or it wasn't that long of a time. And I pulled myself away from the table at 155. Started with 15, and it was $15 hands, and I pulled myself away at 155 because I knew I'm ahead, I'm doing really well, I gotta end it. And I struggled.
Right.
I've told a couple of people this. I really struggled walking through the floor, and I don't gamble. Not that I have anything against it, but I feel like I would lose a lot of money, like an addictive personality. And I'm walking through the floor, and I'm really proud of myself. But like every step, I'm like, man, I was doing really good. Man, I should go back. No. And I kept going, and I was standing in line. And there were like six people in front of me at the cash out window. And I was like, this is my sign. I could just go back right now. No. I could buy some diapers and, you know, put some gas in the car, you know, like, well, this is nice, right? This is a little treat. Take Andrew out on a date, you know. And I get to the window and I keep a $1 chip and as a memento, and I get my cash and I get up to the room, and I'm not kidding. It took me about 2 hours to calm down and get rid of the antsy feeling of, I should go back down. I could win. I'm in Vegas, man. I could hit it big. They could comp me a suite. but I did good. I fell asleep like at 9:30, 9:45. So it was pretty early too. And then up at 6 to get back over to the stadium, Allegiant Stadium, for Big 12 Media Days. And I was like, I got time, man. I could go to a table and win a couple of bucks before I leave Vegas. But I didn't. I never did. I didn't put any money in a slot machine. I more than doubled my money that I took with me. I was proud of myself. You know, I conquered the beast that was Las Vegas, and I left with money and my self-dignity. So we are ahead.
And most importantly, a happy wife.
Absolutely. You know, I came home with some cash. We're actually going on a date Sunday. This will be the first, I think the first actual date. Like, we've been to dinner. My folks offered to watch Jackson early on. We're talking like December. We went and had like a real quick dinner, but this will be the first time that we've actually not been with Jackson for a date. So
big night for you.
Let me tell you what we're doing. We're going to go to a local Mexican restaurant. We're going to walk around a couple of shops and then go see Twisters.
Yes. Like the good Oklahoman that you are.
That's
You got to go. This was a huge week for Oklahoma. One for the state, one NCAA football 25 came out. It has, from everything I've seen, read, I get it on Friday. We didn't get the advanced copy, you know, and all the online. Me and my 10-year-old are not going to be hopping online to get smoked 78-0. So we get it on Friday. But huge week. You got Twisters.
Yeah.
And NCAA 25, which I'm so glad that it's out. I'm so glad that it's good, that all the reviews are great, that they're not, you know, everything's not just like, they got to fix this, they got to fix that. Like, there's a few things, of course, they'll come out with the little patches that, you know, the updates and all that. That'll happen, but that it's as good as anticipated. Better in some regards.
So I'm like you. I explained it yesterday on my show, and I'll get into it real, real quick before we get back to Vegas. I have a finite amount of time that I can be on.
Yep.
And so I PlayStation 5s are expensive, right? I spent a lot of money on my PlayStation. The games are more expensive than PS4 games. And so the way I hate playing online. I don't like it. One, it costs more to have a PlayStation Network membership or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also people that spend real money in-game to get the best weapons and to level up and they just, all they do is play video games. And so what really turned me off was, like, when I first got to GTA 5, I think I had a free, I think there was like a promotion going on when that first came out that you could get like a free 3 months of an online subscription to PlayStation. I was like, oh, that's cool. Y'all do that. Yeah. And I played a little online, but it doesn't matter what lobby you get put into. there's always one to two people that are maxed out level-wise with the best weapons, the best gear, the best everything, and all they do is follow you around and kill you as soon as you spawn. I spend too much money, and I work too hard to not enjoy my video games. I don't want to be frustrated. I don't play on the hardest level. I don't play on the easiest level, but sure. I don't play on the hardest level. I want to enjoy the game. I want to feel good. I don't care if I'm the best or whatever, but I spend too much time at work, and I want to enjoy my video games when I get a chance to play.
Right.
So with that being said, there were only really two perks, like you mentioned. There's only two perks to pre-ordering the deluxe edition for the new EA Sports College Football 25. Obviously, first and foremost is the early access.
Right.
But I'm looking at it and I'm going, I could spend, I think it was like, what, 60, was it 60, $59.99 or
$69.99?
$69. So I'm like, okay, I could save $30. I the other perk is the Ultimate Team Online points. And that'll be, and I'll be honest, I'm looking forward to that, the Ultimate Team. I think it'll be fun to, you know, build out a roster with random players and classic players, but I'm not going to play, sure. I'm not going to play online, so I don't really care about that benefit, and I can save $30. So I'm like you. I just pre-ordered the standard issue. I'm going to pick it up on my lunch break on Friday, but I got to tell you, Brian, and I don't know how you're feeling, but dude, I'm jonesing. I'm struggling. I've specifically stayed away from Twitter and TikTok and Instagram videos because I like when I plug that game in, I want that to be my first actual experience. I don't want anything like I know some of the features of the game, but I want to experience it firsthand. Yeah, I don't want to watch someone I don't want to see someone play it. I don't want to see stadium intros. No. You know, stuff like that. So, but it's Wednesday. We got two more days, and I think we can make it.
One of the funniest things I saw was somebody playing it, and like they just did the little screen grab of them playing it, quick video, and they let the play clock run out on the very first snap in quote memory of the 2024s.
There was that.
That was great.
The only clip I've seen, like, I saw what 24/7 Sports put out, you know, like the minute and a half, 2 minute clip or whatever. And then I saw the only other clip I've seen for real is there's a video of someone playing as a corner and they're hyping the crowd up and they're super excited. And it was like, I got too into it on my first playthrough and dude just gets burned and gives up like a 60 yard touchdown. Like,
well,
yeah.
It's, you know what was fun? And then I have a Vegas question for you. What was fun was seeing OSU's Twitter put out, like, you know, the video of all the guys playing in the locker room.
Yeah.
You know, now I got to think somebody's got to hook this game up to the Jumbotron and play a game on the Jumbotron.
It'd be pretty sweet, huh?
I think that needs to happen.
I would have
whoever the two best are.
Well, and here's the thing
on the team.
Why would they not use it for recruiting?
Oh yeah.
Set them recruits up out there on the 50. Crank the volume up. Let them create themselves.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the? Give me the.
No, I like it.
Well, I've got all one. Right. What's your Vegas question? And then I've got a story before we dig into it.
Yeah, no, I really just wanted to, because I mean, you've done a few of these different events, like, you know, it's kind of a new Brett Yormark, you know, I know last year was down in Texas was the, I believe that was the first Brett Yormark Big 12 Media Days, maybe second, but this one was Vegas, all the teams, 16 teams, like, this is the new going forward, no OU, see ya, no Texas, see ya. Big 12, how did they do putting on the show, and what were your, just your overall thoughts before digging into some specifics?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. That was my first time out to Vegas, so you kind of get to experience, you know, what that's all about. And I'll just first and foremost, Vegas is a lot taller than I expected it to be. It's very big, while being incredibly compact. But this, I believe this was his third official year, 22. The 22 season, I believe, was his first was his first year as commissioner, but I don't, right. I don't even think he was like, I think he gave a speech, but I don't think that was, I'll have to go back and look, but I don't know if that was like, I think he took over like the 1st of August. So I don't even know if he was official yet. Mm-hmm. But I was, you know, we all talked and we were thinking, well, this is Brett Yormark wanting it in Vegas. You know, we'd heard rumors that, you know, possibly moving the Big 12 basketball tournament out of Kansas City. You know, you've got all the new sponsorships, the corporate sponsorships. You know, there's a rumor going around that they want to get into private equity. No matter how you feel about that, I think that's the direction they want to go. Corporate logos on uniforms, on officials' uniforms, on the field, stadiums, all the, you know, big, right? Try to be relevant. Mm-hmm. So that's what we assumed was the case for Vegas. But come to find out, we met with some Big 12 people that used to be at Oklahoma State late Monday night in line for some food. And we were told that it was actually Jerry's World was actually booked for the next 3 years during that time. So you've got you had Copa America this summer, you've got World Cup qualifiers next, and then obviously the World Cup. So
that puts a few more people in the stands than the Big 12 media days that weekend.
About 70,000 to 80,000 per day. Yes. Right. So, but and from what we've been told is, you know, as and it's a the Star in Frisco is the perfect place for Big 12 media days. Beautiful hotel attached to the facility. That's where the Cowboys practice. It's beautiful, but they kind of view that as a step down. I mean, obviously from Jerry's World, it is a step down, but. So that's why Vegas. So I could see it being out there for the next couple of years. You know, why not have it in New Orleans or whatever? But I digress. Other than it being 120 degrees, literally miserable, and I got a lot of beef for you dry heat people, all right? Go stick your head in the oven and tell me dry heat. That's what it was like. But it was a breath of fresh air. You know, it felt... And I get, you know, you mentioned the 16 teams, but it felt reinvigorated. Not that AT&T Stadium and the Dallas Cowboys or anything like that was stale, but it felt the last couple of years in Jerry's World, you kind of got a sense that they didn't really care that much, right? It was just another event. Now, obviously, the Big 12 has to supply everything. You know, the stadium's not going to supply signage or anything like that, but it felt reinvigorated. There was a lot of excitement. There were a lot of people out there, a lot more than I expected there to be. I think a lot of people are excited. We'll get into it obviously once we get further into fall camp and closer to the season. I genuinely think, and not that there are seven teams that could that are, I don't know, it's a weird way. So I think we all know that there are two teams that have a legitimate chance of winning the Big 12, right? Oklahoma State and Utah. I genuinely believe that there are seven teams that if they made it, that they're good enough to make it to Arlington, and I wouldn't be surprised if they made it and or won the Big 12. So there's, you know, and there's excitement around the season, even without OU in Texas, you know, and Mike Gundy's comments aside, I thought there were a lot of storylines, and I think a lot of people are pretty excited about this upcoming season. And Vegas was a nice little bow on the off season to get us ready for fall camp.
Yeah, and just to recap, the Big 12 football media preseason poll had Utah in first, Kansas State second, Oklahoma State third. What's interesting there, though, is Utah got 20 first place votes, Kansas State got 19, and Oklahoma State got 14. So it's very split between all the media. There's no clear front runner. I mean, yeah, Utah is pick number one, but you know, they get to celebrate that for like a day, you know, and then it's like, oh yeah, that really, I mean, it doesn't ultimately matter, but they get the most publicity. But really, it's by one first place vote over Kansas State, and then Oklahoma State must have gotten a lot of seconds because whether Kansas State or Utah was first, because they're pretty high up there in total points. But rounding them out after that is Kansas, Arizona, and Iowa State, who is always tough.
Sorry, the boss man stopped by.
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
What's up, big boss man? No, yeah. I was just saying Kansas, Arizona, yeah, and Iowa State are there after them. All three of those are going to be tough. Kansas, it's so funny. I mean, I feel like if Kansas has five first place votes and they're pick number four, are going to go, yeah, right. Give me the under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can do that at your own peril, especially with the quarterback coming back healthy. You know, they're going to be looking pretty good. Arizona's interesting, and then Iowa State's just always tough.
Yeah, and when I look at it, I mean, there's a couple of schools that if they stay healthy, that they have a legitimate chance, right? So, I mean, Utah, everything hinges on Cam Rising. I think Utah is a good football team. I think when I look at the coaching staff, obviously there's a lot of parallels to Mike Gundy. The almost identical down to the date of when they were hired, the amount of wins and all that stuff, success. So I think that's an obvious. If you're able to keep Cam Rising healthy, Kansas State is honestly kind of has an Oklahoma State feel to it. You don't hear a lot outside, unless you're in Manhattan or you specifically like research Kansas State, you don't hear a lot about them. I think that when I look at Kansas, everything hinges on Jalen Daniels. If they win 10 games this year, it's because Jalen Daniels is healthy. If he's not healthy, I think they would struggle to get bowl eligible.
Sure.
But when I go through it, and I don't think I'm being crazy here. I think I look at Utah, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Kansas, Arizona, West Virginia, and UCF. I look at those schools. And I look at and a lot of people are like West Virginia, and I've had people reach out because I've talked about it for about a week now. When you look at Neil Brown, let me take you back to the 22 season. Horrible, putrid.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it all year long. Don't know how he still has a job because that was the year they fired Texas Tech fired Joey McGuire, and everyone was kind of like, "What the hell? That's the wrong coach that needs to be fired in the middle of a season." I don't care what starters played for Oklahoma State or didn't play. I don't care what the weather was. I don't care how many injuries they had. West Virginia beating Oklahoma State in Stillwater kept Neil Brown in Morgantown. And then they won 9 games last year. So I'm not saying that they're going to win the Big 12. And I'm not saying the UCF is going to. I'm not saying that Kansas or Kansas State is going to or Arizona is going to. But with what they've got coming back, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those teams made it to Arlington.
Yeah. How much buzz was Colorado getting with Deion and just, Shadur and
dude,
was that the talk of the town, even though they're picked like 10th?
And I think that's why, because if you go through it, right, now Travis Hunter was the biggest buzz because he wasn't there. The reason that we were given was that he doesn't really like speaking to big crowds and doesn't like answering questions that he doesn't want to answer. And so to avoid that, he just stayed home. No one had it really confirmed, and, there was no official announcement, but that was – that was the story there. When you look at Shadur, there's no question he's one of the best football players in college football. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback, but he's certainly one of the best football players in college football. Really good. Deion Sanders is, and what's, I'll say this, the craziest thing was watching him go from Deion Sanders to Coach Prime. He shows up. dude, it's insane. So they all showed up. And like they brought 3 or 4 camera people. You've got their media relations person. Shadur had someone with him.
Mm-hmm.
Shiloh had someone with him, and they each had a camera following them around. And then Prime had 2 or 3 cameras. So like it was crazy. But Deion's walking around as Deion. Unassuming. Wearing a jacket over a hoodie. With a, so you know it's him, but
on a 120 degree day. Yeah,
dude, it was weird. But he's walking around. He's got his bag, and, you know, he's not really doing anything. He's got his camera crew with him. And then it's like, I think he was first off the podium. And so he makes his way up the stage. And as soon as he sat down in the chair behind the mics, he turned it on. And it was wild. He went 10, 15 minutes. It was good, you know. And then really humble, right? I'll say that. There wasn't a lot of Louis talk. You know, there wasn't a lot of winning titles. You know, it was really, you're going to schedule us to start the season in North Dakota State? You couldn't have got us someone easier, you know? You know, and praise the coaching, the coaches in the country, you know, in the conference like Gundy. And so it was, yeah, it was good. But as soon as he stood up from behind the cameras, he hobbles his way off the stage and down the stairs, and he's Dion again. But just off the stage was the breakout area to where you could have, you know, not one-on-ones, but there was the Big 12 had a backdrop set up for kind of additional comments. Robert sent me over to take some photos that we could use on the site, and it was me. I was standing next to the Colorado cheerleaders and the mascot, and a couple of camera people were there, and like a couple of other media members off to the side, no big deal. As his presser went along, more and more and more and more people started to make their way over. And I just needed some photos. I didn't care about being in the scrum. There were probably 60 to 70 media members that had made their way over to a little 10 by 15 interview area. And they were, you know, shouldering each other. You know, they were fighting for position. And Dion walked right, didn't even look at him. Just walked right past and went to his next national availability. It was crazy. Yeah, they were definitely the story of that day.
Interesting. How'd our boys do?
I thought they did really well. We got lucky in that we got to interview all of them except for Nick Martin. And I'll explain that funny story in a second. We got Colin, Ollie, and Alan Bowman. We got them Monday evening in the casino. And it ended up, crazy enough, the time that we would have had for breakout session for Radio Row was like a 20 to 30 minute period at the end of my show. And so, I mean, obviously Robert, you know, he's going to be able to get any Oklahoma State player or coach that he wants, but the schedule was pretty packed and we weren't sure if we were going to get them. And we were able to get them in the hotel that evening. And so we do Ollie first, and we get Colin Oliver, and then we get Alan Bowman, and we're like, where's Nick? You know, we text him a few times, and no one knows where he is. I'm like, well, that's not good. And he shows up the next day, and he's got his, you know, he's wearing jeans, and he's got his player polo on, and he's wearing, and I don't know if you've seen him yet, ridiculous oversized wolf slippers. And I go up to him, and, you know, I pat him on the back, and, you know, we kind of chit-chat a little bit, and Sean's like, hey, listen, we got a lot of time if you want to take him back to your table and, you know, do an interview. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You know, Robert's free right now. So I take him over to the table, and we're interviewing him, and like Robert's like, you know, we got all three last night, and we're wondering where you were. And he was like, oh, I went to bed. I was tired. I went to sleep. So that was cool. But I thought they handled it really well. And just to put a bow on the whole Ollie situation, not that you would want anybody to handle it well, because you don't want anybody to be in that situation.
Sure.
But I thought in front of the national media, because that's who the players talked to first before the breakouts with the locals. I thought Ollie Gordon handled that situation better than I thought he originally could have. Not that I had any, you know, misgivings about Ollie, but sure, he was humble, but not too humble. You know, he was contrite, but not like, woe is me, you know, incredibly remorseful, but he handled it really, really well, owned up to every bit of it, you know, didn't pour it on too thick. And that kind of sounds bad, but like, you know, it was really, really good. I thought Ollie handled it just about as well as anybody could have in that situation, which you don't want to be in that situation, but I thought it was really good. Colin was really good, and he's not typically a speaker. You typically don't get Colin Oliver talking a whole lot, but I think he's excited about the season. You know, he's not in that quote-unquote traditional linebacker role. You know, I think they're going to let him be more who he is into the line, you know. Now, they'll drop him back, right? I mean, I'm not going to say that that's – because technically he's still a linebacker, but, you know, they'll let him be more effective like he is. And then, obviously, you know, Bowman, I think, was most intriguing. You know, we've talked about it on the website. We've talked about it on Triple Play Sports Radio. You know, Allen didn't do quarterback workouts through the spring and off season. He did the actual, you know, just Rob Glass workout, and he's dropped some weight. He's put on muscle. He looks good. So I'm really curious to see how he plays this year. I don't expect him. I expect it to be more mobile, but not in the sense of they're going to be drawn design run plays. You know, he'll be able to scramble a little bit and avoid pressures, and so I'm excited to see what he looks like. And then obviously the fun story. I don't know if you've heard it. The fun story about Allen. So he was the third player that we interviewed that Monday, and I found right off the floor, the gaming floor is like a little piano bar and really nice. And then obviously you have the gaming floor, so you have music and, you know, the slot machines, and it's kind of loud. And just past the piano bar, there's like a little cutout, like a little hallway alcove area that was, it wasn't quiet, but it was more quiet than you're going to find anywhere else. And we do our interviews there, and, you know, my back's against the wall, and Robert is interviewing Allen kind of in the middle, and Allen's back is to the piano bar. So there's probably 3 to 4 feet between Allen and the entrance to the piano bar and kind of the wall. And then to my left is the gaming floor. To my right is nondescript doors. They're frosted glass, really tall. And then a little sign on the wall with a keypad that just says key access only. So we're thinking, you know, security entrance, you know, maybe they bring money in and out of there. Maybe that's, you know, janitorial, whatever. Well, while we were in Vegas, Team USA, the entire Team USA basketball team was there, and because summer league's going on and you got the Olympics coming up. And so they're practicing with each other. They're playing some summer league teams, getting ready for the Olympics. And we're standing there interviewing Allen Bowman, and LeBron James turns the corner. I've done a really good job in the last 10 years of separating fandom from my job, you know, and I've interviewed, you know, Tony Dorsett and Barry Sanders and, you know, some pretty, you know, pretty big people, you know, a lot of Patrick Ewing, and I've never been like starstruck. I couldn't get my phone out of my pocket. I'm not a big NBA guy, but you understand LeBron. When I finally got my phone out of my pocket, I couldn't get my thumb to work to take the photo. And poor Allen, LeBron walks behind us, or behind him, and I mean, we get a really, really dirty look, because as it turns out, that's the VIP entrance to the hotel. And he thought, again, he was trailed by like 50 or 60 fans. So he thought that we were trying to ambush him at the VIP entrance to get photos or autographs or whatever. But he had his daughter with him, and he had his security with him. And Allen turns. So the VIP entrance for Allen is to his left, and LeBron comes from right to left. So when he gets behind us, Robert is like, "That's LeBron James." And Allen turns to his right, the wrong way. And by the time he gets turned around, LeBron is already getting on the elevator and just kind of sees his back. And we had to edit the audio because he was like, "That was blanking LeBron James. Oh my God." You know, so it was cool.
What did you think of Allen's mustache? I know you got to go. So last question for me, at least, what did you think of the mustache? Is it here to stay for the season?
Yeah, it is. I liked it. It's in its infancy. It's still pretty short, but up close you can see. I mean, he's got it curled. He's going to get some good wax because we asked him about it. So he shaved it a little bit before before they got out to Vegas, and then he's going to keep it throughout the season. He's going to grow it out, and he's going to, you know, keep it groomed, And before too long, he's going to have a nice big handlebar, Raleigh fingers style curled up mustache.
Woo.
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking. It'll be fun to watch. And real quick before we get out of here, I ran into Kevin Clintworth this past weekend, and Tuesday evening after the first day, planes were grounded out in Vegas because it was so hot they couldn't take off. Well,
what?
Yeah, it was.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, so the way it was explained to me is that when it's above a certain temperature, which was it was 122 at the airport, when it gets to be above a certain temperature, the tires, it's so hot they stick and they get damaged on the runway.
Oh.
And then the air, the air is so hot that it's the planes struggle to fly through. I don't know if it's because it's too heavy, or the heat waves coming up off the ground, but it's too dangerous to fly in the heat like that.
Wow.
And so I saw Kevin Clintworth at a bookstore in Tulsa, ironically enough, this past weekend. And he was like, hey, I was like, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, just doing some shopping. He was like, yeah, my family lives around here. Did you hear about our story? And I was like, no, I didn't. And he was like, so our plane was one that was grounded. And I said, I heard about that. I heard about the delay. And he was like, oh, it wasn't really a delay. We had to stay at a Radisson that night because our flight got pushed until the next day. And so,
oh my God.
He was like, yeah, we had to stay an extra night. And before he told me where, I was like, so where are you staying? And he was like, well, we're going from the Bellagio to the Radisson at the airport. And I was like, oh man, that's a bit of a downgrade. And he said, yeah, we still don't really like to talk about it. But yeah, man, that's fair. That's a fair story. So, no, it's a fun trip. I think I left with a higher opinion about a couple of teams. Obviously West Virginia, I left it with a higher opinion of UCF. I think Baylor is going to be better than people expect him to be. I'm not predicting a championship, but I think Baylor is going to be better. I think they'll be better. I'm not sold on Colorado. I kind of see them as maybe last year. The Big 12 is, I get that you had Oregon and Washington and USC, but the Big 12 is tougher than the Pac-12, top to bottom. It just is. It's more physical. It's more fast. And that, like talking to UCF, that was the biggest hurdle for them, just the physicality week in and week out. And Colorado ain't good. I get that, they recruited well out of the portal, but they did that last year too. They've had a lot of turnover, so I'm not too high on them. But yeah, UCF, West Virginia, and Baylor. Those are the three teams that I'm a lot higher on than I thought they were. Excited about it. We're a couple of weeks away from fall camp, so obviously I think August 3rd is OSU football's local media day. So we'll get back together.
Yeah, extreme camp is the 2nd through 4th.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we'll get back together. Maybe we can do it in person. We'll have a fall camp preview. We'll see if we can't try to maybe get Robert on to help us out, and we'll have a grand old time. And before you know it, we're just a little over a month away from the start of this season, Brian.
That's right. Next time we get together, we will have a full review of NCAA 25 and how many games we've won with Oklahoma State, Penn State, and the like. Something I think would be fun is to go through the Big 12, the media poll, and just give an over under on each team, like a Utah. Okay, obviously they can't finish over.
Yeah.
So start with Kansas State. Do we think that they're going to finish over or under second? Oklahoma State over or under third? And do it that way.
I think that'd be
kind of fun to go through. So
I like it.
Look forward to it.
And what we'll do is we'll get the Big 12. We'll get all the schedules accurate, and then we'll simulate the season. We'll see who comes out on top. So
that's right.
Excited about it. Brian Murphy, appreciate you jumping on with me today. I'm Zach Lancaster. It's been the
Poker
Show. Dude, I'm excited about it. We got Tom Dorado in studio today. We're gonna have Rob Walton on
TV,
and we're gonna get Jordy Mercer on. And so
you got Rob Walton today?
Yeah, a couple minutes of old Rob, and we're gonna get Jordy Mercer to talk the draft, and should just be a fun old day.
Oklahoma State baseball just had the third most kids drafted in the MLB draft. 8.
Yeah.
Mississippi State was number 1 with 11. I don't remember who was 2, probably Tennessee. And then OU, OSU, One or two others all had three. I had eight drafted. He's going to have to do some recruiting, bring some of those, bring Yuri back, and see if you can get Molsky back. I don't know if he will.
Lost a lot of pitchers in the draft, and he lost some really, really, really good recruits. Cash Mayfield, that cat out of Elk City, went 25th overall. Yep. So we'll certainly get, and you'll see that on Pokes Report. You can hear the interview on Triple Play Sports Radio, and then I'll have the recap on Pokes Report here in the next day or so. So certainly looking forward to that. Well, that's going to do it for the Pokes Report podcast. We're going to get out of here. We'll talk to you next time here on PokesReport.com.